Well, this is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, it didn't happen on this particular day. That don't make me any difference. This is the day I'm celebrating that resurrection time. Actually, nobody really knows the exact date or that because of all this, but this is our time to celebrate. You know, churches around the world are celebrating this today. They've actually, as far as the world on the other side of the dateline, they celebrated what we already yesterday, because anybody ever cross that international dateline? When you go that direction, you lose a day. When you come this way, you gain a day. But, you know, many people try to deny the possibility, especially the atheists and the agnostics. Then there are others that scoff at the idea of Jesus raising from the dead. Even in some of the academia places, they teach against this. But let me tell you what, I've been to that grave and it's empty there in Jerusalem. You know, you can go to the other religions, the leaders and their graves, and they're all closed up. They're still there. Mark 16, 1 through 7 says in the New Living Translations, Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out to purchase burial services, spices, so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just as the sun rose, they went to the tomb. On the way there, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side. The women were shocked. And the angel said, do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to the Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died. Now, the message from the angel was, he's not dead. And he wasn't in the grave. They were there. They could see it. He had risen triumphant like he said he would. Now, if we look a little further into this, we will see in Luke that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came, being walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as they walked along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in the last few days. What things, Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priest and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group, his followers, were at his tomb this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing and that they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Now, this is the two guys walking along. Jesus came. They didn't recognize him. And so then as they walked, He began to talk to them. If you read on the rest of the scripture, he went to their house. And then they suddenly realized it was Jesus and he was alive. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the whole central truth of the Word of God. Everything else revolves around the truth that Jesus hung on the cross, he died, he was put in a grave, and 3 days later, he arose. The truth is, without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no real hope for life hereafter. Now, there are many, many infallible truths to the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. Acts 1:3 says, "To whom he was presented himself alive after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom." The empty tomb is proof. The stone being rolled away that couldn't be rolled away by just one person. The testimony of the angel. The nail holes in his hands, in his feet. The testimony of the disciples that saw him. Now, some people said the disciples were lying. Well, let me ask you a question, or let me make a statement. Most of the time, when people lie, it's because of selfish reasons. Now, what motive would they have had for lying when we realize that all they got out of it was misunderstanding, rejection, persecution, torture, martyrdom? That's hardly a list of perks. Hello? You know, we don't have time to do a complete defense, but let me point out some things. If Jesus wasn't raised from the grave, then it's the greatest hoax that's ever been played on anybody, anywhere, anytime. But the evidence points to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Billy Graham said this in one of his messages: "There is more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than there is that Julius Caesar ever lived or Alexander the Great died at age 33. That's a pretty strong statement. But you know what? You can't discredit the many witnesses that saw him. Acts 1:3, New Living Translation. "During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. He proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God." Now, after he arose, he didn't go into hiding. He was seen all over the place. There are numerous appearances of Jesus recorded in the Word of God. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, Mark 16:9-11. To the women returning to the tomb, Matthew 28:8-10. To Peter in the afternoon after his resurrection, Luke 24:34. To the two disciples on Emmaus Road, Mark 16:12. We just read about it. To the disciples with Thomas absent in Mark 16:14. And to the disciples with Thomas present in John 20:19-25. To the seven disciples by the Sea of Galilee in John 21:1-22. To 500 different people in 1 Corinthians 15:6. To James, his half-brother, 1 Corinthians 15:7. To the disciples at his ascension, Acts 1:3-12. Now, that's all recorded in the Bible. But we need to read of the Jewish historian, Josephus, This is found in Josephus, the Antiquities of Jews. Now I'm going to read this. Now this is a historical fact. Any of y'all got a book, this book, Josephus, about Josephus? It's in there. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of many wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. When Pilate, at the suggestions of the principal men among us, had him condemned to the cross, those that loved him first did not forsake him. He appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold, these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. Now that is written by a historian. That's historical fact, and he's saying that he did raise again. Today, our whole Christianity hinges on the fact that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Without the resurrection of Christ, all of this would be in vain. Our faith would be in vain. We would be without hope. The truth is, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the essential truth to the Christianity. Actually, the resurrection of Christ is as essential to Christianity as oxygen is for our lungs. Another individual has said the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Christianity stands and falls together. Now, the real reason why he came and rose again from the dead, that's so that mankind could once again be restored to the Heavenly Father. You see, in the Garden of Eden, Adam walked and talked with God personally. But when he sinned, then God kicked him out of the garden, and we became spiritually annihilated from God. Jesus came that through spiritually we might be reconnected with him. Let's read Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead in because of our sins. Now that's not talking about physical death, that's talking about spiritual death. We were not alive to God. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved, for he raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Here we see the real reason for Christ being raised from the dead was for us to be able to once again communicate with God. We don't do it in a human form. We do it in our spiritual form by praying. One of these days, he will come again, and we will all be with him in a natural state. It says, we were raised up with Christ from the dead. You see, the same power that raised Christ from the dead has also raised us up spiritually. We have authority in Jesus. We have right standing with God because he rose from the dead. You know, it says in Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Another individual said, Christ did not come into the world to make bad people good. He came into this world to make dead people live. That's talking about spiritually. Jesus didn't come to remodel. He came to make a brand new person. It says that in Corinthians 5:17. Let's use the word alive for just a moment. And, my mic is messing up. I don't know what the deal is. We're going to use the word alive for just a moment. And we're going to use those letters. A, the Bible says we've been adopted into God's family. L, it says that he loved us unconditionally and gave Christ as our sacrifice so we could live with him. The I stands for engrafted. We have been engrafted into the body of Christ, the Bible says. The V is victorious. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. The E is empowered. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, the question that we need to realize, because Christ is alive and he rose again, we have received eternal life. We have new life in Christ. Bible says old things have passed away, all things have become new. And it also says that we have life more abundantly. The Bible tells us that because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that we can live triumphant in Christ. Today we celebrate that. We celebrate him being alive. We celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord. You know, when you read about the crucifixion, and he said, And he said on that cross, it is finished. And he drew his last breath. He did not mean his life was finished. He meant the price had been paid for our salvation through his death on the cross. And at that moment, that curtain was split from top to bottom in the temple. The power of God resided in that Ark of the Covenant in the temple. And God said, no longer will my spirit remain in this Ark of the Covenant, but I will go and make my dwelling place with my man. Paul says it this way, what? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because Christ is alive, we are alive. I'm going to go with this. Don't worry about it. Just forget it. Go. Yes. Because Christ is alive, we are alive. One individual says, the cross is the victory. The resurrection is the triumph. The resurrection is the public display of the victory, the triumph of the crucified one. You know, today, this is my 85th time. Of course, I don't remember the first three or four times of celebrating Easter. But I've been celebrating this for some time, and many of you have too. You know, as we look at this from the standpoint of he lived, he ministered, he died, he rose again, and he says, I now sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. He is our, one way you could say it, he is our attorney. Every time that we say something or pray, he says, Father, that's one of the kids. Take care of that situation. Because he's alive, we live. Because he was victorious, we are victorious. Paul says, we always triumphed in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ raising from the dead is a miraculous thing, because there have been other people that have in underneath some ministries that have been right during the Bible. Others were raised. But this one, those people were never in the grave, except Lazarus, and he came forth. That can be a sign to us of Jesus coming out of the grave. But when we think about it, he obtained what nobody else could do. He did what nobody else could do, and that was become the supreme sacrifice. Now, they talked about the blood still works. Throughout all the way from the Israelites being delivered from Egypt, it was because they killed the lamb and they put the blood over the doorpost. Jesus became the Lamb of God that was slain for our sins, and it's through the blood that we have been born again, become saved. It all hinges on that fact that he shed his blood and he rose again. Easter is a time to celebrate Jesus. Easter is a time to celebrate our liberation from the world of sin to the world of righteousness and happiness and goodness. Today, everywhere, there's celebrations going on, celebrating the fact that we have a hope. We have a life hereafter. There is life hereafter. It's either in heaven or hell, one of the two. That's why you need everyone that accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will make it to heaven. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying anything the Bible doesn't say. So today, celebrate your freedom from the tyranny of Satan to the joys of this life we have in Christ. Heavenly Father, I've just talked about that special time for just a moment today about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May we all celebrate that, because without that, there is no hope for mankind. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, I'd like to pray with you and for you. But I can't do that if I don't know who you are. Would you just please raise your hand anywhere in the room, upstairs, downstairs? And we will pray with you, and your life will never be the same again after today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone stand, please. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I didn't try to preach a sermon. I just tried to talk to you about Jesus and about the triumph that we have. I don't know. I got many sermons that I've preached on Easter. I've been preaching for 60-something years, so I've preached a lot of them. But this morning, I just wanted to talk to you about the fact they try to say it's not so, and I just give you all kinds of evidences that's infallible. And I think the greatest of them is from the Jewish historian Josephus, because that takes it out of the setting of the Bible and puts it in history. So not only does the Bible record it, but history recorded it. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and thank God for Jesus. Thank God for all that he's done for you. Thank God because he's alive, you can live. Y'all got something y'all want to sing? Sing "Because He Lives."
Because he lives.